Reformed Church.
All right, so as I said, we're going to kind of continue with the Purpose of Prayer series today. This may be the second to last one that we do. I could probably expound more on each of the points that we've made, but I think that we've made a lot of good points. I want to just do a quick review on just a couple things. One is, again, if you listen to the common denominator message in this series, we were talking about, right, that we're talking about asking. We've been talking mostly about asking. Supplication is what you would call it in the Bible, in like the King James Version. And we've been talking mostly about that, and I was just saying that the Bible will talk about asking, and it will talk about faith. But if you notice, there's a lot of examples in the Bible, tons of examples. In fact, probably most examples in the Bible where it speaks about receiving, it does not refer to asking, okay? Even many examples of people that received from the Lord a manifestation, and there was no asking present, okay? But you will never see an example in the Bible, ever. See an example in the Bible where someone received, and it was not by faith, okay? Even Hebrews 11 explains that every single thing that Moses did, that God did through Moses, everything that God did through Noah, everything that God did through Enoch, all these things were by faith. Okay, what's the common denominator here that was always present every time there was receiving from the Lord? Faith. The Bible says, right, that we have boldness and access through Jesus by faith. By faith. It does not say by asking, it says by faith, right? Faith is actually how you receive. If faith is actually how you receive, okay, through the mediator that is Jesus. Jesus is our access and our door, and we receive by believing on that access. Okay, that's how receiving works. Prayer does not have to be present. Again, we gave a lot of examples in the past about that, but just wanted to review that. So the whole point of this series has been, so then why pray, and what is the purpose of prayer? We said from Philippians chapter 4, I believe it was, you see that when he says, in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So he mentions prayer in general, and then he says supplication, that's asking, and thanksgiving. He names two different kinds of prayer. We're going to go over the second kind today, supplication and thanksgiving. In that passage, what he says is, remember he says, be careful, be worried for nothing, but instead of being worried, worry is a frame of mind, correct? That's on your end. Is God worried? No, God's not worried. Could you be worried? You could be. So what he says is, you don't be careful. Don't be worried about anything. But with prayer, and then he mentions two kinds, supplication and thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart. So what changed? What changed with prayer and supplication? Your mind, your heart went from care, aka worry, to peace. Prayer is therefore what I showed you through that is that there's a lot of verses about prayer in the Bible, but there's certain verses that tell you what the purpose of prayer is and what's happening behind the scenes when you pray. And that's one of those verses that tells you what changed when you prayed. Your heart. The peace of God will guard what? Your heart when you pray. Your heart changes when you pray. You don't pray for God's benefit, and we're going to talk today, you don't thank God or praise God for his benefit either. God is certainly pleased when he sees people talking about Jesus and thanking him for it, but that's because you are being benefited, not himself. Prayer is not for God. Prayer is not how you receive. Faith is how you receive. Prayer helps your faith. I'm going to throw this verse out there. There are some questions I have about this still, but the Bible even says that Abraham was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Okay, strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I'm not going to teach a whole lot on that. I have some, maybe some questions about that, but I just want to throw that out there as well. That's Romans 4, 19 and 20. And the word there is pretty cool. I won't get into the specifics, but the word is not, some translations say Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, but the word is not even strong. The word is strengthened, because the tense of that word means something that happened from the outside. It's the passive voice, which means something is being done to you. So not that he was strong in faith, but that he was strengthened. That means something strengthened him. And what it says is he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Okay? Faith keeps you awake. That's why normally when Jesus, or even throughout the whole New Testament, even in Ephesians 6, it'll always say, watch and pray. That term is a bad translation, but it means stay awake and pray. Prayer is for your alertness, your sobriety of mind, okay? That you would be sober and awake and aware in your mind, okay? Look at this. Psalms 103, verse 2. So Psalms 103, Verse 2, you can read on your own time the whole chapter, but I'm just going to read verse 2. All right, Psalms 103, verse 2. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So bless the Lord means to speak well of God. That's what it basically means. This is essentially talking about praise. And look at what was the purpose of praising God? Because praise or thanksgiving, that's a kind of prayer, right? I'm not talking about singing right now. You don't have to put it to song. I mean, if you're singing, you're still praying. You're just, you know, you're praying with a tune, you know. But this is not, when I talk about praise today or thanksgiving, I'm not referring to singing. I'm just referring to praising God and thanking God in general, okay? So bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, or forget not all his benefits. That is actually the purpose of blessing the Lord. When you bless God, it's for your benefit, which shouldn't surprise us, right? Because what did we read before, again, in Philippians 4? He said that, right, it was your heart that is kept in peace through supplication and thanksgiving. Asking God, or aka you casting a care on the Lord, asking God regarding something, if you need wisdom, if you need whatever it may be, right? We went over supplication. But also, he said, thanksgiving is for your heart, that the peace of God might rule in your heart. When do you pray? Whenever you feel like praying. When do you listen to Jesus? Every second of every day. As often as you remember, listen to Jesus. When do you pray? When do you thank God? Whenever you feel like praying, right? But when you do pray, or even during praise and worship, right, which again is just essentially praying with a tune, when you bless God for your benefit, not for his. But isn't God pleased? Only because it's for your benefit. He gets nothing out of it. We have turned thanking God in the church today, and you cannot deny this. The church today has turned thanking God or times of praise and worship into something that you are doing for him. For him. This cannot be denied. It's turned into giving God compliments, when it actually is for your benefit that you would not forget any of the benefits you have in Christ. Let me give you an example. When we do praise and worship, not us here, I'm just saying the church in general, you'll hear things like this. Let me give you an example. Father, you're holy. Father, you're strong. You created the universe. Father, things like that, right? All of that, if you were just to say that, that is not sufficient. That is not praise, and that is not thanks. Because for you just to say, God, you're holy, you're strong, you created everything. If you think that praise is just you giving compliments to God, then sure, that serves that purpose. But praise is not just to tell God about the things that he has. He already knows what he has. Did I name anything there about the benefits that I have in Christ? Did I name anything? Did you hear any benefit that I have in Christ, or any explanation or any citing of the benefits that I have in Christ and what I just said? Not one. Not one. Now, if I were to change that and say, Father, you're holy, you know, and you're the only one that's done for me, what you've done. You're the only one, Father, that's provided X, Y, or Z for me. And I start citing the benefits. That's the purpose of thanksgiving, so that I don't forget the benefits that I have in Christ. It's not to throw out a compliment to God as if he doesn't know that he's strong. Now, if you were to say, Father, you're strong, and through Christ, you've shared the same strength with me. Now we're on the right track, because I'm what? I'm thanking God for what he's given me. You see, when I just say, God, you're holy, you're strong, you created the universe, that's not thanksgiving. Because God could have been holy and strong and created the universe if he had never sent Christ. You see, I'm not accomplishing the purpose. I'm not thanking God or praising God the way that he wants to be praised when I simply throw out compliments to him. You see, I'm not learning anything. I'm not being reminded of anything when I just name characteristics about God. Now, if I were to name characteristics about God and say, you know, and through Jesus, you've made me an heir of all these things as well. Now we're on the right track, because now I've thanked God for something. But in everything that I just said before, did that sound like I was thanking God for anything? And just saying, you're holy, you're worthy? No. You say, but that's in the Bible. Pastor Mike, how can you say that? You are worthy. That's in Revelation. We actually just taught a series on the you are worthy thing, right? If you were to actually read that in context, the only reason why it even names that Christ is worthy of those things is because everything that Christ has is what you have. Everything Christ is worthy of, now through his righteousness, you're worthy of as well. We did the Unsealed series, right? That's unpacking that you are worthy verse correctly and in context and biblically. And now if I say, Jesus, you're worthy of wisdom and power and glory and honor. Let me give you an example. If I stop there, I have done nothing. Nothing is happening if I say that. This is going to offend a lot of people. If I just say, Jesus, you're worthy of glory and blessing and honor and power, if I stop there in my thanks, I have accomplished nothing. All I have done is name something about Christ that would have been true of him if he had never come to the cross at all. Does that remind me of the cross? Does that remind me of any benefit that I have whatsoever? If I'm stopping there, and I'm just all that serves is as a compliment to God, which God does not need. Praise is not to compliment God as if he doesn't already know that he's strong or that Christ is worthy of these things. In the book of Revelation, if you listen to the Unsealed series, in Revelation, it names that Christ is worthy of these things, and it says that those who are Christ will walk in white with him, and they are also worthy, through his righteousness, not our own, of the same things that Christ received. That's a song. You want to sing about something? You say, Jesus, you're worthy of blessing, honor, glory, and power, and you've made me a sharer in all of these things with you, with Christ. Seated with you in heavenly places, made alive together with you, raised together with you, everything you're worthy of through the cross I've received as well. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're blessing the Lord properly. You're not just blessing God. That doesn't mean compliment him. It means thank him for what you have so that you don't forget your benefits. Especially, it's atrocious. Oh, don't just praise God for his benefits. No. Then you're thinking of praise wrong. Praise is meant for the purpose of thanking God for what you have so that you don't forget. If you can't thank God for just his benefits, what are you thanking him for? I mean, what do we even thank one another for? Do we thank someone when someone's wronged us or when someone is apathetic toward us? Do we give them any thanks? Of course not. You thank someone for a benefit that they've done to you. And that's the whole purpose of praising God. If we're not naming the benefits that we have in Christ during our times of praise and worship or during our times of prayer, you're doing absolutely nothing. You're talking to the ceiling. You're literally talking to the ceiling. Blessing God has no other purpose except to remind you of the benefits that you have in Christ. So go ahead and talk to God and thank him for the things that he's done for you. But don't thank him because he needs a compliment. Thank him because you need the remembrance. That's the purpose of prayer. Forget none of his benefits. Let's read another passage. Romans 1:21. Again, it is. I hope you're seeing how pivotal something like this is for the church today, and what a difference this makes to the way that we pray, and to the way that we praise, and even when we have times of praise and worship at church. What it would do to someone writing a song, if you're a songwriter, what it would do to someone writing a song out before they're gonna put out a CD or something, or put out a, I guess we don't use CDs anymore, but before they're going to put out an album, and they're writing a song for one of these big name churches or whatever it may be, what would it do to them to find out that blessing the Lord is for the express purpose of me not forgetting any of his benefits? We would stop with the compliment stuff. Because that's what our praise and worship is today. Like it or not, that's what it is today. Go ahead and listen to some praise and worship, and what you're going to find is a lot of it, a whole lot of it, is just throwing out compliments to God and speaking of no benefit that you actually have in Christ. And when we do talk about the benefits, I'm not saying this to condemn the church, but it is quite revealing that we don't really know what we have, because when they start naming the benefits, it's kind of measly, if that's the right word. It's kind of beggarly, the stuff that they're actually naming. They'll talk about how God loves them. They'll talk about how you know, oh, you've done everything for me. Okay, name him. Name what he's done for you. Unfortunately, if you were to read the rest of the chapter of Psalms 103 there, you would see the psalmist begins naming the benefits that he has in Christ. He said, bless the Lord and forget none of his benefits. He begins naming the benefits he has in Christ. Let's look at another verse about thanksgiving. This is the opposite. So we just read about what happens when you bless the Lord, right? That means to speak well of God. When you speak well or when you praise God, so you don't forget his benefits. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It says, because that, I have some questions about this as far as the context of this, but we're not going to explain the context surrounding this. We're just going to look at this verse specifically. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Okay, so these people know something about God, it says. But because they did not glorify God and they were not thankful, what happened? Did God get offended because they weren't complimenting him enough? They glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Why does it say that happened? Because they glorified not God, and neither were they thankful. You see what happened here? If it's true, and it is true, that blessing the Lord is so that we don't forget the benefits that we have through him, then what happens when you are not thankful and you do not glorify God in your heart? This says, they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. And that's what happens when people are not thankful to God. And it's not about verbalizing something to God all the time. This can just be in the form of meditation, to be quite honest. This can just be in the form of meditating on the benefits that you have in Christ. But when that does not occur, people slowly become vain in their imaginations. That means thinking foolish thoughts. When people are not vigilant to listen to the Lord, and again, part of that, you could verbalize it or not verbalize it, but thanking God for the benefits that you have through Jesus. Again, if blessing the Lord is in order to not forget any of his benefits, and it is, then it makes sense that it says, when they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, they became vain. Vain means worthless. Thinking foolishly in their imaginations. So you see, what is Thanksgiving instituted for? In Philippians 4, it says, so the peace of God will rule your heart. Again, let me just say this too. There's a lot more than I even have to learn about prayer. I will admit that. I'll admit that pretty much about any topic, but especially prayer. Okay, I admit there's a lot more to learn, but what I'm telling you is the gospel truth here. This is not up to debate. There's a lot of verses about prayer in the Bible, but when you look at the specific verses where it tells you what it's for, which is the verses we've been going over. We haven't just been talking about prayer. We've been talking about, let's look at some verses that tell you what it's for, the purpose of prayer. You'll find it's always in reference to your heart. With supplication and thanksgiving, it says the end result of supplication and thanksgiving is the peace of God ruling or guarding your heart. When you bless the Lord, what's the end result of that? You forget none of his benefits. When you don't thank God, when you don't meditate on the benefits you have in Christ, and especially in context of what we're talking about, glorifying God and honoring God and blessing God, and when that does not happen, it says they became vain in their imaginations. And if you want to skip down to verse 28, we can just scroll down to verse 28. Talking about the same people that did not glorify God or thank him. Verse 28 says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Look at those words. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Referring to their lack of thankfulness, it says they did not like to retain him in their knowledge. Thanking God retains the knowledge that you have. Thanking God, because what did it say in Psalm 103? When you bless the Lord, you don't forget his benefits. When you thank him, what does that mean? It means you're remembering his benefits, right? You're not forgetting his benefits, you're remembering. For these people that did not thank God and did not glorify him for what they knew of God, it says they didn't retain him in their knowledge. Doesn't that make sense? If blessing the Lord is for remembrance, it's so that you don't forget the benefits. Listen very closely to this. If blessing God is so that you don't forget the benefits, then for someone that doesn't care to thank God, what's going to happen? They're not going to retain the knowledge that they even have. We thank God so that our silly hearts sometimes, in the silly thoughts that we can think, we thank God to just get in there with the wrench and tinker a little bit in our head and say, hey, listen, this thought is not right. Let me thank God for what I have and start solidifying what I know of Christ in my mind and bring up to remembrance the benefits that I have in Christ. Let's go back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let's read Psalm 103, verse 2. I got to close up right here, but Psalm 103, verse 2. Right? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3. He starts naming the benefits. He starts naming all the benefits that he has in Christ, which this is how you praise God, and this is how you give God thanks in verse 3. Look at this. Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you, that means manifests through you, loving kindness and tender mercies. So he's naming all the, he heals all your diseases, he has redeemed your life from, because we can say all this in the past tense now, right? Because we live after the cross. He was looking forward to it. But you've redeemed my life from destruction. You heal all my diseases. And thank you, Father, for crowning me. That means not only have you accomplished this for me, but you're the one that manifests through me your loving kindness and your tender mercies. And you satisfy my mouth with good things. You satisfy me with good things, Jesus, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. That's some praise there. That is some praise there. Because you're accomplishing what God intended praise to accomplish. That is for your remembrance. If the psalmist here is just going to say, Father, you're strong, wonderful creator, what are we doing? If that's all you're saying, I'm not saying there's something, are those things factual? All those things that I just said true? Is God strong? Is he the creator of the universe? Yes. But I could also praise God and say, Father, this chair is burgundy. Father, this pulpit is black. Are those true things too? Yes. So am I speaking the truth? Yes. Is that accomplishing anything? No. Because the purpose of praise is to sing about your benefits. I'm not reminding myself of any benefits by praying that way. I mean, if you want to tell God that the pulpit's black, he already knows that. But you could tell him the pulpit is black here. But that's not doing anything. And it's likewise doing nothing to just name off God's characteristics as if they're only applicable to God now and as if Christ never came. You say, well, no, I'm not saying Christ never came, but you see, you're leaving him out of your praise. You're leaving him out of your praise and everything that he accomplished. And I think most of that is due to the fact that we don't know what he accomplished. The best we can say in our praise and worship today is that God loves me and I have a relationship with him now. Like, that's like the best we can do. And we talk about sometimes forgiveness and no more shame and stuff, but we don't actually know the things that we have inside of us that can be made tangible through us. Why don't we sing about some of those things? Well, ultimately because we don't know them in the church today. What are some things that you have in Christ, in your spirit right now, that can be made tangible in your body and in this universe? Name some of those things. Most people cannot name you really anything of that. Name me some things that can become tangible in your life and in the life of others. I'm not talking about intangibles. I'm talking about something that can be made tangible and physical that you have in Christ. Go ahead and name them. We probably couldn't, which is why our praise and worship today is in such lack of the benefits of Christ. We'll talk about forgiveness sometimes. Even that is a little bit pathetic sometimes, but we'll talk about forgiveness sometimes. We'll talk about certain things, but a lot of our praise and worship is just saying, God, again, you're strong, you're this, you're that, and it just... It's a compliment to God, but it's not blessing the Lord properly, and it's not thanking God properly the way that he wants to be thanked. Thanking God is for the sake of your mind. Remember, when they didn't thank God, and they didn't glorify him as God, they're the ones that were at the detriment. God didn't suffer anything because of their lack of thanksgiving. When they didn't thank God, and again, this does not have to be verbal. I don't go through my entire day nonstop saying to God, I mean, I certainly pray to the Lord and even verbally give him thanks, but my point is, I don't go through my day saying, thank you, Jesus, for this, thank you, Jesus, for this, thank you. If you're listening to the Lord, again, pray when you want to pray. But when you pray, know why you're praying. Know what prayer is for. It eliminates a lot of wrong doctrine when you understand what prayer is for and why you're praying. You're not praying to get God to do something. You're not asking him to get, you know, God to do something. You're not thanking God because, oh, God just loves it when his children praise him. Father, you're wonderful and you're strong and you're worthy of glory and power. And if that's all we're saying, if we're just talking about the attributes of God, again, we're not accomplishing anything. We're not actually accomplishing anything in doing so. Because God already knows all those things. And even if you know, let me just say this, even if you say, well, no, I'm reminding myself that God is strong in all those things. You have to be praising God regarding the benefits you have in Christ. You cannot be praising God merely talking about the attributes that he has. You're a sharer in all those things, and Christ actually did something. But you know there's something wrong. I'll leave you with this. You know there's something wrong with our praise and with our thanksgiving today, that you could have said the same thing if Christ never came. Something wrong with it. Something wrong with it. Something fishy about that. I mean, more than fishy. That should just stink to you. It should be a stench to your nostrils to hear that kind of praise. When you're looking at your praise and when your thanksgiving, if you could have said the same thing if Christ never came, could I have said that if Christ never came? God, you're strong. God, you created the universe. God, you're worthy of all these things, and you're worthy. God, you're righteous. God, you're just. God, could I have said all those things if Christ never came? Darn right I could. Jesus did not have to come for me to say those things, because God is those things whether Christ ever came or whether I even have anything from God at all. If God never gave me a red cent, I could still have said those things. Something wrong with your praise and your quote-unquote thanksgiving when everything that God has done for you has come through Jesus, and the praise that you're singing is as if Christ never came. It's not a condemnation, but that is a correction. Because you know what a correction is? Just making something correct. Doesn't mean I'm condemning anybody or guilt-tripping anybody. But that is the absolute truth there. And the way that we're praising and thanking God today does actually nothing for the church. It may get you into it because the music's playing and you want to dance to it, and God, you're strong. It's not actually doing anything for up here. It may give you some like false encouragement for a time, but it's not bringing to remembrance the things that you have in Christ. And that's to be quite honest, that is why our praise and worship list right now of the songs that we have here, you know, we haven't been doing praise and worship recently because of COVID, but even the praise and worship songs that we do have, the list has gotten so small that we've been staring at that list and we're like, we're going to have to probably try to find more songs before we can successfully do praise and worship again. That's how small our praise and worship list is right now. And almost every song in there is edited. We've edited the songs and even done voiceovers. Miss Lindsay recorded voiceovers over our songs to try to rectify the praise and worship songs. When this church can't even find a decent praise and worship song because there's always something in it, or they're just these just flat out, like we're saying facts about God and giving compliments to God, but actually not talking about the benefits, there's something going on in the church's head, or something not going on in the church's head that would produce that kind of music. We got to know what we have in Christ. And obviously, if you don't know what you have in Christ, then your thanksgiving isn't quite accomplishing a whole lot, because thanksgiving is not to teach you. Thanksgiving is for remembrance of what you already know. Okay, that's also an important point. If I don't know something, I can't thank God for it. Praise and worship and thanksgiving is just for the recollection of what you've already been taught. Okay? And it does bring those things into remembrance so that we can retain the knowledge of God, unlike those who don't thank God and don't glorify Him as God. They did not retain Him in their knowledge.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.